for the next few days. I'm going to speak on a few other subjects, some things I wanted to say. We're in the midst of the Christmas season, a time when our children are asking for presents. They may ask for a present or a gift that we are unable to give them because of our financial situation. Oftentimes my children would ask for things that was too big or cost too much for me to give them on Christmas. So we settle on a less expensive gift. When I think on these things, I'm reminded of a daughter that asked for a big thing. You recall the story in the book of Mark, the 6th chapter. The Bible says that when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased the king said unto her, "Ask me whatsoever you will, and I will give it to thee, unto the half of my kingdom." And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked. You know what she asked for. She asked for the head of John the Baptist on a charger. And we do know that the king gave her that which she asked for. Have you ever analyzed that story and discovered that the reason that the king granted her the privilege of asking for anything she wanted, and that he would even grant to her anything she would ask for? The reason is, the Bible tells us, she pleased the king. It was as though he was saying to her, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Those are the words that I want to hear. I want it to be said of me that in my life is that I please the king. And when I read that, I began to remember the words of another king. He says, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And in another place, Jesus says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeks, finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened unto him." And in another place, Jesus said, "I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus said, touching anything that you should ask. Anything. Can you believe that? I have never told my children, "You three get together, and whatever you come up with, I will get it for you." No sirree, Bob. My resources was not that plentiful. But the king that made the statement that I just quoted, his resources are unlimited. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills upon which these cattle live. Paul said that he would supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. God grants our requests according to his riches. I granted my children's requests according to my riches. You can ask big. You can ask for big things, little things, in between things. Whatsoever you will, ask and you shall receive. Isn't God good? One lady, while speaking at the Catholic University, talked about how pastors and mentors often don't ask people to do big sacrificial things. She said, that's a huge mistake. She said that during the 20th century, the communists did a far better job recruiting converts to their cause than did the church in winning converts to Christ. The paradox is that the communists show a faith in their people which Christians, who are supposed to be the great defenders of humanity, are too often not prepared to show that kind of faith in their people. The communists ask for a lot, and they get big responses. They get the big response they expect. And here is the key. The communists say that if you make little demands on people, you'll get a little response, which is all you deserve. But if you make a big demand on them, you will get a heroic response. If you call for big sacrifices, people will respond. But we, in the church, in our own timidity, amplified by political correctness, makes us afraid of offending people with the full, sometimes hard, truths of the gospel. But in so doing, we end up denying them the whole gospel. If the fullness of the gospel is preached, we can expect more than heroic responses. We can expect transformed lives, displaying the gospel's mighty power. You will have put into their lives a force so powerful that you can bring them to do what would otherwise be impossible. The dull and the humdrum becomes meaningless. Life becomes purposeful and more worth living. The Christian may say that the communist has the worst creed on earth, but what they have to appreciate is that communists shout it from the housetop, while too often those who believe that they have the best speak with a muted voice, if they speak at all. All of this bears upon the anemic church in the West today. Despite possessing the truth, packed down and flowing over, we are not as victorious as we should be in the battle for the hearts and minds of men and women. Because of this, Christianity is losing its influence on civil society, evidenced at the ballot box and in legislative, judicial, and executive decisions. As a result, we live at a time when religious liberties is seriously imperiled. The pastoral preaching today does not always reflect the gospel preached in the early church. On the day of Pentecost, Peter told the crowd, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your sins may be forgiven, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Peter did not ask the 3,000 gathered to make the most generous response possible based on their own personal truths. He asked for the maximum, not the minimum. Repent and change your life. Yet, we are too timid to tell people this, and theologians search for reasons to justify their own timidity, if not their lack of faith in the gospel. The gospel of affirmation is not the gospel. This preaching pales compared to the splendor of the truth of the gospel. These are concoctions of the mind of distracted theologians. Only the gospel which points to the cross of Christ and his blood shed there is real and powerful and is truly good news. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So, preacher, preach the gospel in season and out of season, for the day shall come when people will not endure sound doctrine. I'm going to stop the lesson right here. This lesson has been on my heart for a number of days now. I felt compelled by the Spirit to warn those that are in charge of preaching and teaching the gospel. Preach it all. All of it's good for doctrine. All of it's good to instruct people in righteousness. Preach the word.